Welcome to the God is a Geek podcast. My name's Adam Cook. I'm your host this week and every week, and I am joined by one person. And I'm just going to give you a few seconds to think, well, who is it? It could be one of a few people. I'm only joking. I'm just going to tell you. It's Adam Carroll. Hello, Adam. All right.
All right, Ed. What's going on?
Oh, games. Games are going on, mate. I've played just one game. Well, two
games.
I'm
still playing one game.
Yeah, that's one. That one I've played too. We are in the sort of situation, and before we get into what we've been playing, I wanted to ask you what games are left on your... Because, you know, everyone knows God is a Geek does their Game of the Year thing. Our Game of the Year thing, and we're going to be doing that as always. But I'm just wondering if there's any games... You know, this is the time of year where now... I mean, as we sit here, review code I had listed as the game we must cover, big game, just came in. By the time you hear this, that review probably will be... Oh, no, there's a little way left for that. There's a decent embargo on it. But... In terms of big games that you haven't played, that you're like, oh, I've got to get played by Gotti time. Yeah, I said Gotti. What's on your list?
Definitely Star Wars. As of recording this right now, I've yet to even start it. But come game of the year, that will be accomplished. That's essential for me. I have Luigi's Mansion to finish, and I have Pokemon.
Have you started Pokemon?
I haven't.
Okay. And you played Luigi's Mansion, you have played some of that.
Yeah, I played a good bit of that. And just, to be honest, right, one game that's always been on my mind the entire year that I wish I could honestly get through in general, and that's Sekiro.
Okay.
But it ain't going to happen. What about you?
I'd never finished it, and it's probably one of those that I think if I was going to finish it, I would have by now. I think I'm there. I'm going to talk about this game anyway in a minute. But I think I don't know. I'd like to touch Shenmue 3 because I've no real affection for it. I did play it at the time on Dreamcast.
Did you get bored of them?
I only remember playing one, but I do think I did play two, but not much of it. I suppose the one, and I don't think I'll get time for it. And I don't know if it will be a contender, and I don't know if it will come up in the awards. Judgment.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I did start it, but I was in a bit of a gaming funk, and I'll be honest, it just felt like Yakuza. And
we were both in that gaming funk at the same time, I think.
I think so, yeah. And I kind of want to go back to it.
Yeah.
I just don't know if I will.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you, the biggest one is I need to finish DMC. I need to finish that.
Yeah, that's surprising that you haven't finished that. I keep forgetting.
This is the thing, this is not a moan about being games media or whatever, but there was a point where I was playing it for fun, but then something came along for work and superseded the fun, and I just fell away, and now I'm kind of worried about, because there's so many characters and so many mechanics and so many combos, going back to that now is going to be tough, but I don't want to start it over again. Even though it's brilliant, I just don't want to start again. I've not got long to go, I just need to sit down. You know, I wouldn't even mind playing Resi 2 again. I played that through twice. So.
Yeah, I actually have that same situation with Astral Chain, game that I put in a good few hours and then kind of got sidetracked by other things. Mm. And now I feel it's too far gone that, I think if I go back, I need to start it again because there's just the mechanics and the ways around it, what you're saying with DMC. How did you find DMC?
I loved it.
You were a fan,
I absolutely loved it. It just to say something came along and knocked me off the train.
Yeah.
And this is a fast-moving train to climb back onto. Like I said, I would kind of like to finish Star Wars, but let's just get into this, right?
All right.
I'm going to upset some people here, but I can only ever be honest, okay?
So
I will start. I will start, and I will start by saying I don't think it's a bad game, okay? And I suspect people are going to hate the argument I make here, okay? And I've made this elsewhere, so apologies for repeating myself. Arkham Asylum is a phenomenal game with Batman in it, okay? The old argument of, oh yeah, but would it be as good if it didn't have Batman in it? Yeah, it would. It's a phenomenal game. It just happens to be a Batman game. Like, the game itself is still absolutely brilliant. I think if you took the Star Wars out of this, I think it'd be quite an average game, and... That's that's not to discount it, because you can't, because it is a Star Wars game, and go on, I can feel you.
Well, immediately by saying that, if you took the Star Wars out of this game, you're taking not just even the aesthetic and the universe, but you're taking out that lightsaber and the force.
But here's the thing, right, man? I don't think Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order is a bad game. But I don't think it does... So of all the things it borrows from, we mentioned on the podcast a couple of weeks now, like, you know, it does the Uncharted thing, it does the Souls thing, it does the Metroidvania. I don't think it does any of those things particularly brilliantly. And I don't think it does it anywhere near as well as the games it's aping. So the Souls stuff I mentioned about the bonfires, the meditation points, but respawns the enemies. There's no reason for that. There's no narrative reason. The only reason is, I think, so you can farm and XP to level up.
Which is weird. It's weird within this game,
but it's super weird within this game because everything else is kind of in serving of the Star Warsness. And then there's this thing that's like, people don't come back to life when you meditate in Star Wars, unless they do. I don't know. I mean, I'm an expert, as we discussed last week, but like.
But when
it's not even their best game this year, Respawn, like Apex Legends. Like so Star Wars Jedi for me, right, is very clear when you play it that this is a developer who is very clever and very good, but this is their first third person game. Like, because we know they can do Titanfall 2, we know Apex Legends, and whether you love those games or not, what you can't deny is how good they feel. Like, they nail first person mechanics. This feels like they are getting to grips with third-person mechanics. The platforming doesn't feel quite right to me. The unchartedness never goes all the way. Like, it's not as I don't think the level design's as good as the games it borrows from. Like, the Dark Souls kind of, you know, it literally comes up with shortcut unlocked. It's like, yeah, I got it. I get that, you know?
But is there... Push aside the Souls stuff and Bloodborne and whatever, right? Like, when was it? What point was it for you within this game that you were like, so, I'm just getting bummed out by this now.
So you do an opening level, which is very Uncharted 2, as I've said. Then you get to choose between two planets, and I went to the main story part, and I did that planet, and I was quite enjoying it. I wasn't blown away, but I was enjoying it. I feel like the map didn't help at all. We've mentioned the map. Then you go to another planet, and then you finish that planet, and it tells you, oh, you need to go back to the previous planet. And it's a bit like, really?
But already? Is it not fun to do it? Is it not fun to, like... Because that in my, when people are saying that, oh, the fast travel situation, all that kind of stuff, like, I've heard those complaints from... I've seen numerous people come say that and be not, like, they're not happy about it. But in my head, I'm kind of going, but, like, I think I'm going to enjoy running back and, like, when you're saying the enemies respawn... no pun intended, but like when you say they come back, like fighting with the lightsaber and the force, is it not all just so much fun that you just...
No, it's not.
That's a bummer.
not for me. Like, again, I don't think it's bad, but I don't think... Everyone keeps on about the combat being amazing. I don't think it is at all.
But why? That's confusing me.
Okay, so a large part of the game is parrying. So obviously, that's again, the Souls, the Bloodborne, the parrying attacks. But it's not just that. There are also... So the game has kind of, obviously, larger and smaller and variants, but generally speaking, two types of enemy. Three, I suppose, because of the sort of wildlife. There are ranged people who shoot you with you know, their blasters, and you kill them. You can get in close, but the easiest way to kill them is to just block, so to quick parry the bullet back at them. You've seen it. Everyone knows that this is a thing. It has to be in a Star Wars game because it's a cool thing to do.
Yeah.
And they're smart about how they do it. You don't have to aim it back at them. If you just parry their shot, it goes back at them and kills them, usually. But everything to me, and I've been struggling for weeks to try and articulate why it bothers me, I think they've prioritised animation over action. So when you unlock a power, you kind of get this like flashback to when you originally unlocked it and you're like reawakening the power. And the Force Push is the first major one you get. And I kept failing it. Like, there's just your sort of... You know, this guy just throwing a block at you and you just have to fire it back at him. And I just kept mistiming this parry, essentially. Even though you're doing Force Push, it's you're sort of parrying it back at him, if you will. You know, you're timing it to return it at him. And I kept doing it wrong. And I was like, this wants me to parry at the point it's thrown, not at the point of impact.
But if you were to compare the parrying situation to the likes of Sekiro...
Yes. It's nothing like that. That's what I'm saying. Sekiro kind of almost it goes for the gaminess, right?
Because I couldn't really get the parry down in Sekiro. I was
no, but you know, Bloodborne is the same, isn't it? Like you parry at the point you want the parry to happen.
Yeah,
you don't preload it. You don't hit the parry knowing in a second they're going to animate. You just hit the parry button and it parries. That's how a parry works, really. It has to prioritize action over animation. With Star Wars, you kind of have to parry or hit the button just a half second sooner. And I can't get that down. And that makes the whole system feel wrong to me.
But is it not part of its design of becoming a Jedi? And like,
because what I'm saying is the game looks the business.
Yeah.
You know, it does. I actually saying that, I don't think the Wookiees look very good, but whatever. the game looks the business. What that means, though, is you have to parry by being aware that to parry, Cal has to raise his sword in a motion to actually parry, right? Okay. To physically do the motion. I'm doing it now. I'm raising a hilt from my waist to the, you know. So you have to account for that animation. Whereas in a game, in any other game of the genre, you just tap the button, parry. And you don't see the animation. It just does it. It just instantly parries, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you hit parry the second someone strikes, whereas in this it feels to me like you're having to account for the fact that Cal has to, right, I'm being shot, so he's got to animate lifting it up to shoot it. Someone's throwing something at me, okay, I have to account for the fact that he's got to lift his arms up in a slow motion and kind of force push it away. And to me, that's why the combat doesn't feel right. And I don't see... It's also like, again, the Star Wars-ness looks really cool, but I just feel like where Apex Legends or Titanfall just blew you away with these just this amazing feeling game, this doesn't feel like that to me. It feels fine and sometimes good, but the jumping doesn't feel right. And like at the end of that second proper planet, I kind of felt like if they'd given me another power to then go back to that first planet, I'd have been fine with it. But to me, the pacing felt wrong as well. Like, I'm not surprised it's being raved about because people are starved of a good... And it is a good game. It's decent. It's a decent to good game.
In ways, I think it's kind of being... It's being received in odd ways. I wouldn't say... No one's coming outright and going, this is bad. This is a terrible, terrible Star Wars game.
It's definitely not. I tell you what, though, mate. It needed longer. It's unacceptable. It does this thing of... and this is on a pro. Sometimes, randomly, it will have to just pause the game almost to load an area in. It's not optimised at all. And that's disappointing. And that, to me, is them not having enough time. They clearly needed more time.
Right, okay. Like, this is... I don't know. I'm kind of a bit put down by it all, by hearing this in a way. Like, I'm going in with, like, I have it there, it's installed, it's good to go. I'm excited. I'm so excited for, like, to hear the sounds, to see how it looks, to feel how it plays. But I do hear what you're saying. I
feel like everything it does is done better elsewhere.
Yeah, and like the jumping. Jumping the gaps.
It doesn't feel right to me at all.
Yeah, those jumping the gaps and not catching the rope and stuff, it sounds like torture, and I know exactly what feeling it is. It feels like that feeling and that situation, I think, only happened in really like PS1 games and PS2 games, you know, because you couldn't really judge
it. It looks like that fucking GameCube Donkey Kong game. Like,
something 3D like one. But like, aside from those... things like have you been into the story? Like, are you into the character? Do you like it? Does it put any surprises? Because this is the other side that I hear.
Not yet, but I've heard there is more to it. But just like, I mean, we'll get into this. I suppose we may as well get into it. But I was playing it, and I got to that point where I went back to the first planet again. Second planet, I suppose. And I loaded into it, and I was like, I've got to walk all the way through all the stuff I've done with nothing new to explore because I explored it all on the way out. I'm going to go and play Death Stranding.
You're in such a pickle with these two games.
And so for the week following, because this is mostly that Star Wars stuff I played mostly the day after we recorded the last pod, and so for near enough a week I've been playing Death Stranding solidly.
Yeah.
And it's a difficult conversation, and I don't want to, like, you know, this is almost, this podcast should be two guys trying not to talk about Death Stranding again. I just, I think that game's complicated in a lot of ways. I feel like my relationship with it is complicated in a lot of ways because there are things I think are just so bad in this game. But man, it's got something, hasn't it?
Like I said, did I say
on the podcast about the BTs?
I think I did.
Like, I think I asked you the question, do you think this would be a better game without
them? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So I've changed my mind on that slightly, right? Because, and there's no way you're going to change your mind, Dan. There's no way some of this can wait till game of the year time. Some of this I have to get off my chest, right? Okay. So you, right, let's just, I'm just going to say this, and I'm going to say this again at game of the year time. Act 2 should have been cut entirely. Chapter 2 should have been cut entirely. Absolutely, completely cut out the game. A better director, a better producer, they get together and say, we need to, in fact, it's a director, isn't it? A better director cuts Chapter 2. You cannot, I'm sorry, you cannot be out there saying people are going to hate the first half of this game. You cannot be out there having people say, just get to Chapter 3, just get past Chapter 2. That's bad design. That's poor. That's fucking bullshit. It's inexcusable. Chapter 2 is bad. It's bad. No way around it. There's no reason it has to be there. It doesn't. The way they dole out the story is basically big story, load of gameplay. Big story, load of gameplay. It could have been done differently. If you go from the prologue and maybe Chapter 1, then Chapter 3, I think people would like this game a lot more because Chapter 3 opens up in a way that you are given lots of mechanics that you can use. You are given lots of tools that actually matter. You know, the first chapter you're spent learning about ladders and the anchor.
Yeah.
I haven't used one of them since then. And to be honest with you, I only used the ladder because I fell down somewhere and needed to get back up. Like, those tools are so inconsequential once you discover other stuff. And also, I don't think the guy trusts you at all because I had been driving around in a stolen mule car for about 5 hours and then someone in Chapter 3, they explain about cars. And I'm like, yeah, 10 hours ago, lads, I've been driving one for quite some time. So he doesn't trust you at all to discover anything about the game. And the amount of tips in that menu suggest I'm right.
So, here's the thing, right? Like, where I'm at now, I'm at the end of this game. I'm nearly there. I can feel it. It's at that point. What you're saying, I get. I understand all that jazz, right? But I think people have gone into this game thinking far too hard about it. Like, this is the thing. Like, I have a friend who is playing it as well, right? I am nearing 40 hours, as is this particular friend, right? He is still on Chapter 3. And I turned and I went, how are you still in Chapter 3? And he was just
he's doing everything.
He's doing standing orders. And I was like, okay,
you're doing
standing orders, or standard orders, they're called. Then there's all the reading that's thrown into the menu.
But those standing orders, man, let's just address them.
Okay.
Because of the way this game works, the reward is the experience.
Mm-hmm.
There's no... all right, yeah, technically you level up, but, like, you will anyway, won't you? You know, you won't miss anything. You'll get the new... You know, and most of the time the leveling up is kind of like, you can carry more. And like, great. Those standing orders, I look at them and I'm like,
The best thing I've ever heard regarding those orders is, before that game came out, I read some articles saying, when you get to Chapter 2 and they open up, just skip them. Just drive
on. Ignore them.
Just drive.
And I was like, cool. That's what I'm saying. That's bad. That's wasted time and wasted design.
It's wasted time and design, but in the same area, I do feel that for people, like, okay, so here's the thing. When I realised that, and I did a couple of them, I went, I'm not spending my time on this. This is just ABC, ABC all the time, right? Going back and forth, that's that, right? As I went off and just did the main quest, I got everything that I needed. I didn't feel underpowered. I got every item that I wanted. The story just gives you the stuff, right? And that's that.
Yep,
you never feel like you need to do this in order to do this mission, right? When you're... What those standing orders are for, in my head anyway, is when I finish this game, if I just want to continue in the world, they're there for me to do. Just to... Just,
yep.
do that's stuff, fair. And that's fine by me, right?
But even all that shit he explains, he doesn't explain properly. You know that bowler gun?
Yeah.
I didn't realise that doesn't take him out. It just stuns him.
Well, it ties him up, like.
Yeah, but not for long. Like, you have to go over and kick him if you want him out. Well, I had this bit where I was driving back from a mission in a, again, stolen mule car, and all of a sudden they were like, oh, shit, there's a load of them. I was like, oh, well, that's all right. I've got this new bowler gun. So I started firing off, knocking him out, and then all of a sudden it's like, Jesus Christ, are they just respawning? And I realised, no, it's the same guys getting back up. They get up again. And
Some of them can get out.
Huh?
Most of them can get out
in my experience, but then I realise later, oh, I can just go over and give them one kick and they're out. But like the BTs, man, the thing I wanted to say about them, I've changed my mind. I don't think the game would be better without them. I think the game would be better without them in Timefall. When the missions are like, hey, go to this ruined city where the nuke went off and it's BT infested and go and get it, I think that gives BTs meaning. Mm. I think when it's just, oh, I'm walking to this place, and, oh, look, there's BTs now. It's like, no, man. Like, I was talking to you about the mission. So there's a mission early on where you have to carry a dead body. And it's one of the worst missions in the game because you are not equipped to carry that much weight. It's a yomp. It's horrendous. It's not fun. But it's kind of teaching you that the game isn't fun. And I'm okay with it. Then there's another mission in Chapter 3 where you have to carry a body again. But they're not dead. They could just walk, or you could get in a car together or on a bike together. And, like, it wouldn't be so bad or so egregious, really. But this woman you're carrying is talking to you the whole way as well. Yeah. And then you have to, and you know you're going to, because to go to her, you go through a BT area. So you know you've got to go back through it again. But at that point, you've got, I won't spoil, other ways of dealing with BTs that make them just so inconsequential. It's like, yep, you're gone. Get out of the way. You're gone. Fine. Let's get on with it. And if those weren't there, that might be a nice moment and a nice opportunity for the game to allow you to reflect and just take a nice walk with because you don't spend much time with people. Like, when in that mission, when this person comes out of the, I'd spent the 20 hours or so thinking to myself, I don't fully understand where people are. Are they underground? And when this person comes out and says, take me to this person, and you see them come out the door, you're like, Oh, there are actually shelters under here, and I get it. It makes a bit more sense. And it would have been a nice moment for you to, you know, fine, if you've got a carrier, maybe she's got a broken leg. I don't know, whatever. They could have given another reason for it. It would have been a nice moment to chat to her. Instead, the BT moment breaks that up, and it's not challenging. The combat in this game is so not challenging, it's not even funny. And yet somehow I'm still fucking playing it. Like, you know, even those moments, you know, when the sort of Red Dead moments where the music starts playing and the other game sound fades away?
Yeah.
Some of those are unintentionally hilarious. So I had a reverse trike and I'm going through and they don't want you on a vehicle in a lot of these areas because there are pebbles and rocks everywhere. So there's this like, and the guy loves, is it Low Roar, the band?
Yeah.
He loves that band. And to be fair, the tunes are good. But just underneath the tune, this really relaxing, oh, this song is playing. It's so emotional and moving. You can hear where he's banging into everything all the way. And it's like, this is so stupid. And yet, for some reason, I have played nothing else in a week. And whenever I get an hour, because that game, by the way, I think in all my life, I've never known a game able to eat your time the way this game does. It is like a time machine. I've never known a game like it.
I just think, like, it's a light spoiler in a way, but there literally has been nothing this year like this game at all. And I think when you get to where I'm at anyway, you will be like, holy shit, right? Because I was saying last night to a friend, the same friend who was just on Chapter 3 still after how many hours or whatever, I was talking about just the games in general this year and moments. Like, if you could just rattle off a game and what moment instantly pops into your head. And we were like, do you know what? Just example, Resi 2, the opening section, blah, 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 whatever, right? Yeah. Just one of those. And that's where we're going, right? I can tell you right now, Adam, Death Stranding holds 6 moments so far for me. 6 moments.
This is another one of my problems with it, mate. Because like, I'm 20 hours in and I've got none of them.
Again,
Chapter 2, I've forgotten the name of that chapter. Because every chapter is named after a character. And I've forgotten It's Amelie, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, even though you barely make any contact with her in that chapter. Chapter 3 is Fragile. Neither of those two chapters are interesting character-wise. The interesting characters are the ones they don't let you spend time with. And I've looked at the trophies, and I know there are chapters named after Higgs, and there's a chapter named after some of the other characters. In fact, they've all got one by the looks of it. But none of this early game shit is interesting to me. Like, he is not that clever at writing. He can't write subtle.
He may not be that clever, but like, no, do you know what? I actually take that back, because dude, there's just, it's so funny how he has done this game, because when you see what he showed, what he previewed, what he was building, what he was showing everyone in the audience and at home, he must have been like, this is fucking going to be some wild ride, because where it goes is, it's blowing my mind that, I said this to you even in a message, it's blowing my mind that it just isn't just thrown everywhere online, these certain moments. Because I had to text Chris. I was texting Chris when something huge happened. And one of the messages was me going, holy shit, I can't believe that blah, 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 just happened. And Chris replied back to me going, oh mate, just you wait. And I'm there sitting there going, what?
I want some of those moments, man. Because
But when you're saying, oh, chapter 2, you can be caught, whatever, right? I think everything that you're playing right now, you will forgive. You will forgive and you'll be like, okay, I can see. Because when it comes down to it, Death Stranding is an experience unlike anything else I've played. Like, and there is moments, and this is, take this with a pinch of salt, but there are moments within the game for me that in some ways feels kind of like Breath of the Wild. Now, when I say that, I mean like the emptiness, the kind of just going your kind of own way. I don't know, I get sucked into that kind of thing. But where all the characters will come into play and how it paces itself in its story and the visuals, Adam, like knowing you and what you like in video games and moments, like when we discussed that control
I know, but like I think I'm near the end of chapter 3.
I think you are, and I think like when chapter 4 started, I went, oh my god, and I was just like,
that's what I need that. If I don't get that when I hit chapter 4, I might, because I know,
but when it happened, I was like, what the fuck am I doing? And it kind of just goes mental, and then you're like, whoa, that's insane. And then it goes again and again. And then it kind of will slowly go back to being just the Death Stranding that you know for a brief period of time. But then, man, it's like all of a sudden it just injects itself with like the most insane amount of adrenaline and goes, and go! And it's just like non-stop then all of a sudden.
Join us next week when I've stopped playing it entirely and they've gone back to Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order.
I think Death Stranding, we've said our pieces until really you get to that point, if you want to say it before Game of the Year. But Game of the Year is really where the final verdict comes out for Stranding and how people think about it. Because people that I have met who are playing it are in the same boat as you. Now, I will admit that when I did start it from the word go, I just felt like I was into it. And that definitely helped. Because I don't know, if I wasn't in the mood for it, I don't know if I would have stayed with it.
Mm.
But I have.
I will say, playing it, I actually started the game over. I didn't carry on my save. I started again. Because I feel like, so the review period when it was under embargo and all that, like there was stuff being built. But playing those sections again with like the game out, that's how it's meant to be played, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I just think when you get through it, if you do find it the same way as you're feeling, then I'd be like, oh, that's fair enough. Then that's that. You your points are taken on, because there's no way you can disagree with someone's points on the game.
Yeah.
But there are, for me personally, we can't go into every video game going, well, why does it do that? Because it's game.
But it's this, he's the guy out there saying it's a new genre, it's this, it's that. I don't think it is, sorry.
Dude, I don't think
it's a new genre.
But the like system is the community's, like the like system is mental. Like it has as time has gone on, when I'm there and it's just going, oh, there are 20 people happy with your road or bridge or ladder or place. Because you're saying you didn't use the anchor and ladder. Man, I'm everywhere with it. I'm using them everywhere. Every fucking where I go. And like, wow. I'm letting them down on areas, and then someone will find that and they like it. And it's kind of rewarding to know that, okay, that person found that anchor, which means they went pretty much the same route that I have gone. And it's vice versa. Like, when I'm in a situation where I've gone up, like, say, a mountain, and I'm looking around going, oh, fuck, where
but, like,
am I going
to
go?
I haven't seen yours or Chris's or anyone's gamertag. And I'd like to have hoped it would at least pull some of my friends in to go, oh, Chris went here. Because at the moment, if you look up, like, who you've interacted with or who you've used their services, they're just all random people. It'd be kind of nice to think... You know,
see, I don't know how exactly that really works.
We'll never know, I suspect.
We never know, and I'm not really interested because I'm not an online gamer as such. I think this level of online is more than enough for me. Like, I've seen somebody playing it, and they have this ginormous fucking like road going through their entire map. Man, I've no roads in my map, like at all.
Okay, I've got some roads from I've got Port bridges Knot City, and my God, is it nice when there's a road?
Yeah, it is, but it's not long. Like, if I know you've the situation with the vehicles and stuff as well, and you're kind of like, oh, then you stop and you have to get out. I think I'm just really into the walking, and
I prefer the walking. But you're giving me a vehicle to make the walking, and I can carry more. Like, I was a bit disappointed with the what's it called, like the skateboardy thing. I didn't.
Or
I thought
carrier.
That would be, yeah, I thought you'd be able to skiff around on that, and it's only for downhill really, and it's really fast.
But that carrier, man, like later on, like the cargo that you have to take, and like here's an example. I don't know if I said this the last time.
Hang on, sorry. That like, you know, you get the speed skeleton.
Yeah.
On that mission with the woman that I was talking about.
Yeah.
Like, I got that, and I'm like, why would I put this on? I want to be able to not fall. I want to not fall over and stuff. So I'm just going to keep the power skeleton.
Oh, you'll always fall over, dude. But
I've fallen over very little.
I'll put it this way, right? That speed skeleton is going to be a big deal for you. And,
okay,
like, the thing about it is, a lot of that stuff comes into play, and you'll have to be like, all right, I need this because I'm carrying this much stuff. And,
okay.
When I've heard people talk about the stats and stuff, none of that shit is bothering me. It's just not bothering me. I'm just like,
I would agree there.
I keep looking at just what I need to look after, and that's it. And it doesn't take more than a minute, and that's fine by me. But the carrier and stuff, man, like, I have that going up everywhere, and I've loads of stuff with me, and I've extra bits and pieces that I need to bring along. And like, I've had moments where like the carrier wire snapped, and then my cargo just like fucking took off and like went down a mountain and stuff.
Wow.
And I'm just like, oh no. And I just think these moments are, now that's not one of the moments out of the six I'm saying, but it's a feeling where I'm like, that was totally my fucking mistake, because why did I go this way? Do you know, just because it looked shorter, and look at that situation that's caused. As I said, you're still playing Death Stranding, as many people know it who haven't played it. And I think, don't take that as an offence, but it's just like, there's so much more for that game to offer. And I think when Chris put out his review, I was like, all right, cool. And you'd read it, and it's kind of like, yeah, all right, banging. And I actually think, to where I'm at, I would hate to have reviewed this game.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I would hate to have reviewed it, because there's just too much to say that you don't want to say, because the element of surprise is so fucking good to me anyway.
It was a 3,000 word review.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
I totally get it now. I get why it was that long.
Yeah, and he could have written another 3,000. Do you know what I mean? It's going to be some discussion when it comes to Game of the Year for us, because I'm just waiting for you to message me at one point. I'm waiting for you to message me and go, right, holy shit, what happened there? And I'd be like, all right, here we go.
We'll see. We'll see. That's it. That's kind of it for games this week. We can get into listener correspondence because Chris will be back, I think, next week to talk Shenmue and Civ 6 on Switch. And hopefully I'll have played a bit of Pokemon. I played a little bit, not enough to give any thoughts. I think it looks pretty. I haven't seen any of the issues. And it seems like there's 300 plus Pokemon to catch, which is quite a lot. But, you know, I'm not going to tell the internet what to get upset about. Legman wants to know, this is lucky it was perfect for us, Ad. What's your favourite ever cover of a song? He says his is The Man Who Sold the World by Nirvana, obviously originally by Bowie. That's a great cover. That is a great cover. I remember that happening when it happened because it was unexpected because it was unplugged and then this distortion pedal kicked in and you're like, he's breaking the law. and it was just a great cover. Great cover. Yeah. So I won't pick that. Have you got?
I'm finding it hard to pick a cover now, if I'm honest. I can't.
I mean, I would probably go with either Manic Street Preachers theme from MASH, because again, it was unexpected to cover a TV theme tune, and it's just a great version of the song with a nice solo in, or Ben Folds' cover of Bitches Ain't Shit, which is the lyrics are horrible, but it's so funny hearing those lyrics to like his laid back piano playing. I think that would be. He actually does a great cover of In Between Days by The Cure as well. Ben Folds does some great covers. What have you got?
I would probably pick. Right now, what's coming to mind is Jose Gonzalez Heartbeats.
Gotcha. I can just tell you the best one ever, by the way. I've just remembered how I've forgotten this. Jeff Buckley's Hallelujah.
Yeah. Yeah. Just I could, do you know what?
Astonishing song.
No, you're after reminding me as well of Johnny Cash's Hurt.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Which is just like, that's just like, it just hits the heart. It's really, there's some amazing covers. There's some really bad covers, but there's some absolutely amazing ones. And when a cover is done right, do you know what? Actually, it's really weird this question has come up because just before recording here, do you remember that band Evanescence?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're back and they have covered Fleetwood Mac, The Chain.
So yes, that's right. They've done, that's for the Gears 5 campaign. I don't like that at all.
Christ, I don't know what that's going to be like.
I don't like it. It's really sort of breathy and, I mean, that's a whole thing, isn't there? There's these weird covers like Mad World and all that. And where do you stand on Wonderwall, but Ryan Adams' version?
I don't know. I'm not really into it. I'll be honest. Like,
it's alright.
Yeah, I think it was maybe in the OC and stuff like that. And
okay.
I think it makes that song, his version makes that song too cliche sounding. If you get me. Oasis one is so overplayed, but there's just like, Oasis make it a bit more like, Oasis, I guess. But
speaking of, I do like their cut. Well, theirs, it's Noel in it. Their cover of Heroes, another Bowie song.
Oh, Alan. Yeah.
I really, really like that. And I do really like their cover of Street Fighting Man. And I'll be honest with you, I'm a big Oasis fan. One of the ones I really like is You Gotta Hide Your Love Away.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, their cover of they've done some good covers. My Generation's a good cover. Come On, Feel the Noise is a good cover.
Always did all this.
Yeah, they've done loads of covers over the years. You know? Yeah. I mean, like, it's weird because, like, the Manic Street Preachers are one of my favourite bands of all time, and I wouldn't say they've done that many good covers. Like, they did It's So Easy by Guns N' Roses for a while. They did a Nirvana song.
Oh, Christ, Guns N' Roses did a covers album, didn't they? Wasn't it the Spaghetti Incident or something?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, Slayer did a covers album.
Do you know what? I would go with the Manic Suicide Is Painless theme from MASH, or their cover of Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head and Can't Take My Eyes Off You are absolutely brilliant.
Okay.
So,
what about Susan Boyle's Wild Horses? Because
never heard it and don't plan to.
Fuck's sake. Like, do you know what? Any person I know that has heard that song and I go, Susan Boyle, though, do you know, Wild Horses, it's actually unreal, isn't it? And it's like, yeah, to be fair, her voice is ridiculous in it. Like, do you know, it's so funny to be talking about Susan Boyle, but you know, here we are, 2019.
Well, this is a simple question for you, and I'll give you one chance to get the right answer, because there, in my opinion, there's a right answer. Lyle Carr wants to know, What's your famous Christmas? Sorry, your favourite Christmas song.
I had this discussion recently. Like, there's probably about fucking four, but the one that comes into my head is Last Christmas.
I will accept Last Christmas. The what correct do you want to say? Answer. The correct answer York? Is The Darkness. Christmas time.
See, that was in the bells there, yeah, end. Christmas time. Yeah.
Just a belter of a song.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the new album isn't.
I don't mind the new album. It's not amazing, but it's listenable. There's some good tracks on there.
I just want them to do Permission to Lend again.
They're never going to do that.
Like, well, they should, because it's fucking brilliant.
Well, he'd have to get back on the drugs, then, I project.
That's what he needs.
Yeah. Thomas wants to know, what foods are you most looking for? It's not Christmas themes. What foods are you most looking forward to at Christmas? In the past, he says, I've partooken, good use of the word, of some lovely cheeses.
Oh, good lad. What food are you most looking forward to at Christmas? This is pretty shit and bland for a lot of people, I'd imagine. But I love the carrots at Christmas.
Didn't expect that.
Well, yeah, of course, like, because you're going to say, like, the fucking ham and the turkey.
I mean,
aren't you?
Pigs and blankets.
Ah, gwee.
You're a vegetarian, blankets. Aren't you? Or are you not anymore? I can't remember. I can't keep up with this.
Vegetarian 7 years, Adam. I'm not changing anytime soon.
We'll see.
Pigs and blankets. Like, that's just so self-indulgent. Like, it's just...
Yeah. It's Christmas.
Ah, but come on. Rashers wrapped in sausage.
Yeah. Well, it's the other way round.
With sausage wrapped in rasher.
Although, now you've said it. Could you wrap a Cumberland around... No, you couldn't.
There's no way.
I do like a cheese board. I will say that.
Ah, for the love of God. Who doesn't?
Mm-hmm. Some Jacob's crackers. A cheese board.
What's Maybe the worst grapes? Cheese? What's the worst cheese?
It's an opinion, I suppose, but mine would be anything blue.
Yeah, blue is bad. I was actually in a market recently and my mother bought this cheese, right? And it was one of those, like, you know, local markets, so everyone's like doing some really nice shit for really expensive prices. But she bought this block of cheese and I actually had to tell her go away.
Mm.
It smelled so fucking bad. Honestly, I thought she was carrying a bag of feet.
Wow.
Yeah, it was.
I can't believe you've said carrots at Christmas. What?
I don't know, man. Like, just, you know, I'd happily sit down with a bowl of carrots. Like,
I've nothing. I just.
But why? Like, would you not? You know?
But you don't have to wait for Christmas to have carrots.
I don't know. There's something about the Christmas carrots. I don't know what it is. Same with Brussels sprouts. There's something going on with them. I don't know. I feel like supermarkets just get these limited edition, like, Christmas carrots. And I don't know.
They don't.
But I feel like they do. And I'm kind of don't want it to ever change.
Well, I won't ruin it then.
It's definitely me. It's definitely just me.
Oh, it's. I'm glad that now you've realised that, mate.
I'd admit it, but you know, a carrot at Christmas, man. I don't know. It's a family moment. Do you know when people open up?
It's a family moment.
Well, do you know when people open up like a tin of roses and shit around the house and stuff? Yeah. It's not as special as a bowl of carrots.
By the way, it's been posited in this house that we might be skipping the roses this year on the Quality Street.
Why?
Well, you're trying to be healthy, and we thought we might get just like a nice expensive box of chocolates.
You've decided to be fucking healthy during Christmas.
I didn't say I have. I said that it's been put to the family.
What are the kids saying?
They don't know. What I'm saying is my wife has suggested to me that we do this. And she's probably right.
You better give those...
You finish that tin off long before Christmas, and you go, well, we better get another. They're only a fiver.
Do you know what you should do? Do you know what you should do?
Go on.
You should get the tin, right? Empty out its contents, put in the carrots, have the young fellas open it up, and I guarantee you they'll be just as happy. Trust me.
I guarantee you they won't. The dog will, but he loves carrots. Anyway, moving on.
Dog has good taste.
Thomas wants to know that in regard to the developments in gaming over the past decade with subscription models, streaming, microtransactions, VR, what is your prediction for the next decade in the land of video games? What will be the next thing?
I think physical will definitely be gone.
Games as a service are going to continue to dominate.
Yeah.
And I suspect that ray tracing and graphical, sort of pushing the graphics is also going to. 4K is not going away. VR is not going away.
I think gaming is going to go into this area where, like, I feel music has gone. Like, I was saying this recently that music years ago, do you know, and for some reason I keep thinking of this album for some reason, but you know when The Killers released Hot Fuss, I think that was the name of it.
Great album.
Okay? Oh, fantastic. So the album comes out, right, and I think, like, everyone you know has listened to it. Mm. It was kind of similar with Arctic Monkeys and all that kind of stuff. Now, it does, it's still kind of there, you know, but I just don't feel people share the same kind of album as much anymore as it once was. It's kind of like, oh, did you listen to it? Yeah, I did. Whatever, and you move on. And then they're listening to their other thing. I think gaming is going to go that route where, I don't know, I worry that the community will just be, it'll be so big with games that, like, you just won't know what everyone's playing.
Mm.
To talk, and it's, I just don't really want that. You know, especially if streaming comes in and stuff like that. It's going to be like, oh, did you play
this? Well, cloud gaming is going to be a thing. I don't know how long it will hang around for, but you've got Nvidia's, you've got Xbox, PlayStation will do something, and they are pushing PlayStation Now. And of course, Stadia, or Stadia, however you want to say it, Chris.
Stadia.
But, like, that's not going anywhere. But
we should have rinsed them for that.
Wow, we should. I sort of didn't feel like it was, I felt like it'd be kicking a puppy, you know? I don't know. But, yeah. I think a lot of the things that are here now will continue to be here. Subscription models, definitely, in terms of, like, Game Pass and that, and Stadia. But, like, yeah, games as a service, we're going to get plenty of them. I think we're going to get graphical, you know, beasts of games at the perhaps at the, you know, cost of the game being good.
It's all about the fucking game running and looking good now, isn't it?
It's and be prepared for the PS5 and Xbox 2 to absolutely be going on and on about hard drives and how quickly games load. And do you know what? It's been really boring. It's been bothering me. Well, no, since Sony pushed that, it's been bothering me that I already feel like we're being sold bullshit. Because even though these games, like these exclusives, will be designed to run on the specifications of this hardware, PCs have SSDs and games do load a lot quicker. But the idea that it's like boot, game, playing, never load again, I'm not so sure we're going to get that, if that's what people are suggesting. I think there's definitely the possibility that once you've loaded in, you won't see a load again. But then, yeah. I don't know. The idea that basically Sony and probably Microsoft have said they're doing it too, but the idea that they've got magic SSDs that don't work like any other SSDs, we'll see. Yeah. But they will definitely be going on about a quick games load.
Exciting.
Yeah. Sticking to gaming, Thomas wants to know, how well are your gaming skills aging? Does your experience of typical tropes see you through? Or do you always look for the complicated solution and miss the obvious? Have your reactions dulled over time? Incidentally, he says he's maintained a level of ineptitude. My reactions have definitely got dulled. I can't play like shooters like COD like I used to. And I miss it, actually. I miss being able to play those. I don't think I overcomplicate things, and I don't think I miss too many obvious things sometimes, but it's more tiredness. I think what's happened is as you get older, you get more tired, so you miss obvious things because you're tired and you're not thinking straight. But, yeah, I'd say that's about it for me.
Yeah, I never really focus much on shooters and stuff like that, so I can't really judge on it. I think when it comes to has my gaming skills aged and stuff like that, I wouldn't say so. I think a lot of it is to blame within the games in some way, because I think games get so heavily detailed, such as Stranding, for example. It's a prime example. Like, you know, there's so much to take in and you feel like you have to look at everything, and then your brain is kind of going, oh God, what's happening? But then when I get past it, I'm just like, you just know it all and you're just naturally going fast with it all, you know, and it's grand. I think it just really depends on the game.
I think games have stopped trusting the players a little bit. Like, some are so over-tutorialized these days. Like, when you think about Stranding, really, their first 10 to 15 hours are tutorial. Really. Maybe more.
I know, but that side of it, it's funny you bring that up, because recently, right, it's been Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword's anniversary. I think it's been 8 years or something like that, right? So that was out. And all of a sudden, now, everyone is like, oh, it's a great game. It was so good. Oh, do you know what? Looking back on it, it's amazing.
I didn't like it at the time.
blah, 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 this, that, and the other, right? And I've always been on the positive side of that game. I think it's amazing. There is major problems, obviously, but there's some incredible things in it. And I remember everyone going on about the tutorials and all that kind of stuff at the start, and I was just like, yeah, but look, why does it take 8 years to then come out and say the game is good? Mm. Like, that shit just annoys me when people are going on about that kind of crap. I don't know.
Well, let's do one more question and let's get out of here and go play some more Stranding. It's the day before payday. It's the day before payday. You're skint. Is this real life? I was going to say for a minute, like, this is all true. Yeah. So it's the day before payday, you're skint, and you have to craft a meal out of the debris in your cupboard. Oh, God, this is not one I wanted to ask when Adam was here. What meal would you make and what ingredients would you use?
Debris in your cupboard, right.
I mean, I'd go omelette, just omelette. I've always got eggs in the house. Cheese omelette, probably there's a bit of cheese or a bit of ham left in there for sandwiches for work and, you know, lunch boxes. I think I'd go cheese and ham omelette.
I might go, depending on, like, you know, you'd always have a bottle of sauce, a bottle of tomato ketchup or something.
Yeah, okay.
I might get ketchup. I might make some pasta. And I'd pour
I don't like where this is going.
I'd pour the ketchup into the pasta and then add cheese. And I think that would be all right.
Maybe
a carrot or two.
When's the sauce go? You're cooking the pasta. You're boiling the pasta.
Yeah.
And then you're putting the pasta into some sort of dish.
Yeah.
With cheese on it?
No.
Okay.
No, the ketchup first. I'd throw that in, and then it stirs around.
Yeah, okay, so you've drained the water, you're putting the pasta back into the bowl, the pot, and you're putting loads of ketchup in.
And then I get the squeezy bottle of ketchup, and I just squeeze it for ages.
Yeah.
Stir it around, and then I put it out in the bowl, and then I just drop the cheese on top of it.
That sounds absolutely revolting.
Not if you've a carrot. As well with it.
Like, the carrot saves it.
Yeah, the carrot will always save it. Chop it up. There you go. Happy days.
That's just... I don't know, man. I'm horrified. Use some cheese spread or something and...
You're sick in the head.
Cheese spread and Marmite sandwiches. Lovely.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Get out of it with your Marmite.
Oh, my God.
Marmite.
On that note, seriously, that's all we need to say. You just how much? I don't know, and I don't want to know how much ketchup really. Lots is what you said. That's enough.
Yeah, just above the halfway mark.
But that would be so sweet.
Yeah, it is. But I've said this before. I used to eat ketchup sandwiches as a youngin.
You did. I forgot. I'm horrified all over.
But that's
again.
All I can think of right now. That'd be in my cupboard. That I'd be guaranteed to be in my cupboard is ketchup.
Yeah, I mean that's why I said cheese spread, because maybe I've got a couple of Dairy triangles and I can grate some cheese and throw them in with the pasta.
You need to get proper cheese at least.
No, I'm saying both. I'm saying some grated cheese, what's left over. Usually we've got like the end of a bit of chorizo, so I'll fry that off and throw that in, and, you know, just some sort of pastry dish with a bit of chorizo, a bit of cheese. That's kind of it. I like pasta anyway, so I wouldn't be that fussy.
Before we drift off, right? I was having a conversation today. I just want to ask you: have you ever tried the cracker challenge, where you can try and eat like 10 crackers in a few seconds or a minute or something?
Yeah, I've got no problem with that at all. I've never found that a problem.
Can you do it?
I've never timed it, but I can eat crackers dry, no problem.
Could you eat 10 crackers in a minute? Okay, I don't know. A minute is definitely extreme. I'd step it up to 3. 3 minutes, could you eat 10 crackers?
Do I have to eat them individually, or can I get like 3 at once and just chomp away? Because I think
you could do three at once if you want, but that's the worst strategy ever.
I think I could do it. But I like a dry cracker. I mean, I'm not going to... Oh, I fancy a dry cracker or anything, but I have eaten dry crackers.
I think the challenge has to be set amongst our podcast listeners whether you should do a video of you eating 10 crackers within 3 minutes.
So 10 Jacob's crackers, square
10
crackers.
10 Jacob's crackers.
In 3 minutes.
In 3 minutes.
10. I think I could. It's difficult because until you're in it and the dryness and no fluids in between.
It sounds easy, man, but I like...
So it's just no fluids, I can't stop and have
you can't have a drink of anything.
I think I could do it. I think I could do it. Do I win anything if I do it? Just
I
respect. Just,
I suppose if you do it, the video we'll get a like. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, because what people love is a fat man eating food on. People love watching fat men eat, don't they? That's just one of those things. It's like ASMR, isn't it? It's just the new drug, isn't it? Watching fat blokes eat food on camera. And not even a nice meal, just like ramming dry Jacobs into their gullet.
Oh, you can have tomato sauce on them.
Nah, I'd just eat them dry.
Mm.
Mm. On that note, you can get a patreon.com/godisageek for $1 a month. You get this podcast early. We're going to be rolling out some changes soon with a brand new secondary podcast that is nothing to do with games, but will be for Patreons only, and that's going to be the $5 tier. That's a fortnightly podcast called Fork Off. Guess what that's about? We've talked about plenty of it this evening. You can probably guess. Fork Off. I'm not being rude. That's the name of the podcast. Like, you know, F-O-R-K, Fork Off. Patreon.com. That's going to be $5 a month, and you'll get 2 episodes a month of that. We are looking to get that started, maybe even in December, but likely that will start rolling into January. But you can go there for the $1 tier as at the moment, and you can get this podcast early. That will stay the case. You will always get this podcast early for the $1 tier. There's plenty on there. We've been asking our Patreons what they want, and everyone seems to be along for the ride of what we're planning. Adam, you can be found at Adam Zokes on Twitter, or at God is a Geek. You can follow the team. And really, that's kind of it. Next week, say Chris will be here to talk Shenmue 3. Will he like it? Won't he like it? Ooh, actually, the review will probably be up long before that podcast, so you'll know. But hey, maybe you only listen to the podcast. That's fine too. YouTube.com/GodIsAGeek for all your video needs. Make sure you do review this podcast. Look, you like it, you share it, you subscribe, you share with your friends. It's always good. The more people that you share with, the better for us, really. And hey, share the love. We love you. You love us, hopefully. And they'll love both of us. You and us. That's we, they. Adam, thank you for being here this evening.
Thank you.
Or this morning. You didn't pull me up on that. I've got away with that twice on the week now. Thank you for listening this morning, this evening, or tonight. Doesn't matter. We will speak to you next week or whenever you choose to listen. Bye-bye for now.